Hello and welcome to Miss Charlotte Astrology. I'm Miss Charlotte, a full-time working astrologer, and on this channel I analyze the astrological charts of public figures, and very often they are celebrities, and that certainly is the case today, as I'll be analyzing the astrological chart of one of the biggest pop stars of our time, the Ms. Ariana Grande. So she's going through her Saturn return. She's just come out with a new album. I haven't heard it yet. I think when I go on my walk after this I might have a listen, because it actually looks really good. Like she's a very talented artist. Sometimes I don't understand what she's singing. I wish she would work on, is the word elocution? I wish she would work on that, because sometimes she mumbles a bit, but she's got a great voice. She comes out with banger hits. She's a great songwriter. I'm always rooting for her. However, sometimes her behavior is unjustifiable, I'll be honest. Like, we'll get into that, but I also have a lot of humanity. I also appreciate that she's had a hard time and she was a child actor. And based on the chart that I'm looking at, I think that she was exploited in every which way a pop star of her youth and her stature can be exploited. And that's something that we have to understand as mere mortals, is that pop stars, they're slaves to the system much of the time. So I wanted to look at her and obviously, you know, have my critique, but also still do it with compassion, because I'm not going to be on here chatting shit about someone. I'm just not. Like, even if I don't like a person or I don't like what they do, I think it's important to use astrology to understand them. Even if you don't agree with someone and you don't like the way they act, to still have that compassion and not be a twat. So that's what we're going to do today. All right, before I dive into this chart reading, I want you guys to know I have 50% off my 60-minute readings, which are on by appointment on Zoom. They are recorded, so you get to keep it after the appointment's done. And I have 30% off my 20-minute recorded readings. Everything is linked below. It's the best way to support me. And if you can't do that, that's fine. If you could just like, subscribe, and comment to feed into the algorithm, because I'm trying to grow this channel. I would really love to be in a position where I don't need to do readings as much, because I have a platform where I can just make money. Like, I'm looking for financial stability. 36 years old soon, and I'm still looking for financial stability. I'm just paying off my debts right now. See, some of us, we're approaching 40 and we still don't have a strong foundation, but we're working on it, because the Saturn and Capricorn kids, you get it. You get it. If your Saturn's in Capricorn, you understand how hard it's been for us, but we're still blessed. We get there in the end. we'll have the last laugh. Okay, so let's dive in and let's have a look at Ariana Grande's chart. So she is a Cancer sun, a Libra moon, and a Capricorn rising. Not easy placements at all, because having a sun in the same sign as your seventh house cusp makes you codependent. She's in relationship after relationship, but at the same time, a Libra moon, she's perpetually dissatisfied and she's always looking for the next thing. Like, that's also a codependent moon, and I have a Libra moon and I fight that codependent thing, because if I'm locked in, I'm locked in, I'm miserable. So yeah, she's, even though she's a Cancer sun, which also Cancers can be codependent too, because they're very much, you know, they want that warm place to stay. And then her sun plays into, it is in the sixth house, which can make her a workaholic, but it plays into the seventh house of partnership. So she's very much like a, what I call a Libra Cancer. Okay, so both of those are codependent energies. And then her Libra moon is perpetually dissatisfied, not well aspected by anything. In fact, it's squared. So she's always looking for an adventure. And obviously I don't know her, and I'm not here to follow her private jets like some of you nerds do. but it's almost like it's through her interpersonal relationships, her intimate relationships, that she, that's how she expands spiritually. And this is in a codependent sign, the moon in a codependent sign in the ninth house of travel and experimentation and long journeys. Every relationship is a new magic carpet ride for her. But this squares off with her sun in Cancer, because she just needs to find a warm place to stay forever and ever. Venus in Taurus, like, And I understand this. So I got a Venus in Taurus. She really is a romantic, and it's another placement that indicates that she really values stability and forever and the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids, and she wants all those traditional things. The problem is that this is so terribly aspected in this T-square with Pluto in her 10th house. So there's some kind of sexual or financial exploitation at work, especially when she was younger, that is in this harsh opposition with her opposition to her Venus. So when you have tension like this between a very public, like 10th house Pluto, where you're worked to the bone, especially since you were a child, like being exploited, or even potentially having a lot of power and really being a powerful person in an industry, and she's both of those things, that gets in the way or is conflicting with her ability to have healthy private relationships. So Pluto is sex and transformation and exploitation. Eventually it can turn into a boss bitch energy, but if she, very early on, if she was exploited sexually or financially, this is the thing that is going to break her heart. Because squares and oppositions to your Venus, especially like this T-square, shows that there are things outside of yourself that make you go against your value system, which is very painful because she wants that traditional thing. A Venus in Taurus doesn't want to fuck around. They want forever, okay? Now, if she's got generational planets like Saturn and Pluto squaring off or opposing, she's going to be put in situations where she can't have that or she can't do that properly. So Saturn squared Venus, which is down here, is daddy broke her heart. Saturn is the father. It's the patriarch. It is authoritarian figures. That does not cooperate with her Venus in Taurus at 20 degrees. This is a square. And I know it's in a water sign, so you'd think that this would be more cooperative, but it's still a square. Daddy broke her heart. Also, her Saturn at 0 degrees in Pisces is in an interception in the second house. Dad is gone. I don't know much about her life. I know her parents must have broken up. I heard she was rich, though. With Venus in the fourth house, that makes a lot of sense. Like, she has a lot of financial abundance in the home. And I'm not saying that she wasn't loved, but something with the father is the thing that broke her heart. Because these relationships that she's in, one after another, speaks to her relationship with her own father. And girls that behave like this do not have strong fathers or do not have present fathers. That is very obvious to me with this T-square. So either her dad abandoned her or left her or neglected her or he's just a prick. Or, the authority around her just isn't there. Like, Saturn intercepted is like a lack of boundaries as well. Like, there's no authoritarian in her life. And the authority that does exist is exploiting her and perpetually breaking her own heart. And she will be put in positions where she has to break her own heart or she's got to act out in a way that is not within a healthy boundary set around herself. So yeah, it is nicely aspected with Uranus. I think because Uranus is on her ascendant, Uranus trine, it's an exact trine too at 20 degrees. They're all at 20 degrees. So this is really nice, but I think she's going to have to break the rules in order to find a stable romance. Or she's going to have to rebel against the system in order to find the stable romance. However, if she was to get into her Venus and do the thing that is traditional and very trad wifey, what's that going to do? She might have to walk away from fame for a while. If she wants to cultivate a happy family home life, a happy marriage and do all that, she might have to say goodbye to the music industry for a while. She can't have it all at once. She can't have, a career in the music industry making bop after bop after bop and being in this two-year cycle of album making and movie making and all. She can't do that and have a happy family home life. That's what this opposition's about. You can have it all, just not all at once. If she was to focus on herself and turn away from her career, she could always come back to it. That's the thing. She's iconic already. She doesn't need to be in the spotlight all the time. I think if she was to go quiet and just, you know, have the husband, have the babies, I think that would be fine. She can come back later. And the Uranus and the Neptune trining, it's beautiful, but I mean, she's going to have to become rebellious. To have the traditional thing, she's going to have to become self-involved, selfish. To get what she wants, she has to be selfish. To get what she wants, she's going to have to turn against the system. So, I mean, I talked about her and Ethan before. I don't know. I mean, I could see them getting married. I don't know if it'll last very long. She's going through a Saturn return. I always tell clients, like, just be wary of your Saturn return. Like, do what you want, but I would probably wait to the end of it. Like, probably wait to the end of the Saturn return to get married. Like, just go through it. Get through all your, like, trauma and learn your lessons and then do it. Because if you get married before your Saturn return or even at the beginning of it, I mean, there's a high chance it might fall apart later. So, yeah, anyway, that's what I have to say about her love life. Maybe we'll get back to it at some point but I just wanted to point that out. Saturn is also in her second house of finances and values and self-esteem. So her self-esteem is up and down. It's an incredibly insecure placement. I say that as someone with a Saturn intercepted in the second house as well. She's going to have to learn a lot about managing her money. She talks about money a lot. So that tells me that she might have some financial issues. We'll see if that comes up during her Saturn return or when the North Node enters Pisces in the next year or two. I wouldn't be surprised if there is some trouble with money. She's very abundant with it. She can make it. It's nicely aspecting her sun. So she's always got money coming in, but I'm wondering if money management is a problem or she might end up in conflict with people that manage her money. So we'll see what happens. Pallas Athena's nice here. She has a genius for making money, and that's through artistic means, Pisces things. But she does have Lilith here as well, which is very destructive with money. Like that song Seven Rings is talking about her these spending habits. She's also a Venus in Taurus, and boy, do we love to spend money. But we'll see. We'll see. But that's what I'm thinking. Like, this is not necessarily a prediction. This is just Ariana, if you're out here, go get a great financial manager. Put yourself on a stipend. Is that the word? Put yourself on a little budget or whatever. Stipend. Stipend is an allowance, isn't it? Anyway, whatever. She needs to figure that out because she loves to spend the monies. She is a Capricorn rising with Uranus and Neptune on the ascendant. So people with Neptune on the ascendant, Neptune in the first house, they do really well in film. There's that iconic, like, Neptune is associated with iconography. That makes a lot of sense here. A lot of famous film stars, pop stars with great beauty, they have that Neptune in the first house, a la Marilyn Monroe. So yeah, a lot of great movie stars. And she will become, well, obviously she's doing this film Wicked. I know the hair color is not the best for her, but she looks lovely in it. Like, she is a very beautiful woman. Let's just face it. Even when she looks a little bit hungry and skinny, she's still stunning. So there's also this Uranus on the ascendant, so that can make someone really polarizing. So people project a lot onto her. They project their desires and their fears onto this sweet looking little girl. You know, people think she's so lovely, then other people think she's a slut, and then other people are like, who the F is this bitch? You know, so having these two malefics on her ascendant gets her into a lot of trouble. It makes her quite, I think there's a rebellious quality, because having Uranus on the ascendant gives it kind of Aquarius kind of vibe, I guess. Like, I'm going to do what I want. So I wonder if she can, I don't think she's the easiest person to work for. I think in her more intimate relationship, she's quite lovely and soft and sweet. But when it comes to business, and interacting with people in the everyday, that must be quite difficult for her, because not only are people projecting onto her, and having a Capricorn rising, there's this early maturity. I think it's a difficult upbringing. Like, she had to be the breadwinner of her family, even though they were rich. Like, she was put in this position where she had to work at a very young age, so she grew up really quickly. And then on top of that, she's going to be questioning the rules, and she's going to be groundbreaking, which is breaking the rules. So... And they're always going to just be disobeying people. Aquarius risings, Uranus in the first house, questioning people's rules. Why do I have to do that? Who the F do you think you are? So, yeah. There's some interesting placements here. I did discuss this Moon and Jupiter in the ninth house, but I want to focus on that for a little bit. She has part of fortune here. This is not a comfortable placement. It's a creative placement. Ninth house is also publications, and she's just perpetually dissatisfied, and that's very visible to the world. So She and it's also a learning house, so she learns through her emotions. She learns through these interpersonal relationships, and then they are also published and put out into the world. She doesn't necessarily have to speak on them. Mercury is not here. So she doesn't have to speak on them. She can sing about them. But yeah, we can only interpret her side of the story. I don't think she'll ever properly speak on it. Maybe she'll write a book on her older years. But yeah, this is not a very comfortable moon. It's always hungry for the next thing. It's very codependent. Once she's done with a relationship, she can just go to another one. I don't know if she's ever going to be single. I don't think she can be. I mean, prove me wrong, but being single is a very painful experience for Cancers and for Libras and seventh houses, because they can't handle to be by themselves, because then they have to face their own demons. And some people are just not built for that, unfortunately, like for real. I know we should all be able to do it, but some people just can't. Especially with someone as traumatized as her. So the square between the sun, which is the ego and creative expression, that squares off with the moon. She wants to be in love. She can't see herself clearly unless it's through someone else. I have noticed every time she changes relationship, her looks change. So if your sun is playing into that seventh house, that's your ego and your self-expression. Your self-expression and the way you look and the way you present yourself is going to change according to the partner that you're with. Because as I said earlier, she's a Cancer, but she's like a Libra Cancer. It's also, she is a sixth house sun. If I read it as a sixth house sun, she's very much of service. And that is also a kind of a codependent sign. Like, she always needs someone to serve. If I see it as the sun playing into the seventh house, she always needs to be with someone. And this conflicts with her moon in the ninth house, because then she's always hungry for the next thing. So if she gets sick of this relationship or bored in this relationship, then she feels like she can't be free. She can't, there's just a lot of contradictions within her. This girl boss bitch image that she tried to go with a few years ago, it's not real. I think it's some version of herself she wishes was real. Mercury is her voice. She's got Mercury in Cancer, which is lovely and velvety, and that trines that Pluto. And Mercury is firmly in that seventh house of other people. So again, she needs a bit of that ping pong action where she can share her ideas with people, whether it be in a studio or with a romantic partner or a platonic friend. That's what helps her write her songs, her albums, and it's pushed out into this Pluto in the 10th house. So through collaborative means, she can get her voice out there. Pluto trine Mercury is someone who could be very influential with her voice. I talked about Princess Diana's chart earlier, where she had Neptune trine her Mercury, and that's a similar kind of thing. Like, it is through speech, or is through songwriting, or some kind of self-expression or intellectual activity that she can actually influence the public. So that is there. She really does need to have a collaborative effort on that. I don't think she could do it completely alone. She can't do anything alone, which is quite sad. Now let's talk about her Mars in the eighth house. Mars in Virgo is incredibly dirty. She loves sex. I think sex was something that must have been forbidden. Either she was exposed to it at a very young age, or she was protected and she wasn't allowed to look at it or touch it or see it or like have any kind of contact with it. And then what happens to those people where sex is forbidden? They become the biggest pervs. You know, they become the most like sexually excitable people. Now, and maybe it's both of those things, both of those instances where she was very protected, but at the same time, maybe she was also exposed to it from a young age. And like, protected girls find a way to get, protected girls, they get rebellious, maybe, you know, sexually rebellious. That happens a lot. Mars in the sixth, and the Mars in the eighth house, and I don't want to say this about every single person that has Mars in the eighth house, so calm down, but it is one of those placements that are associated with sexual abuse. Now, Pluto, you see this square between Pluto and Mars? They're both the sex planets. Pluto in the 10th house speaks of her being exploited at work. And having that in an argument or a war with Mars, which is her personal sexual power, those two don't get along? Does she have sexual power? Does she have a lot of, does she have her own sense of personhood within the industry? This placement, this aspect in these houses, tell me no. Pluto, you are ours. We own you. We pay you money. Get on your knees and worship us. Shut up. Don't speak. Just be our sexy little doll. Squared Mars, you have no power. You have no power here. I have heard things about Ariana Grande at her time at Nickelodeon. Of course, I cannot, I'm not a verified source. I don't know anyone connected to this industry. But there are a lot of rumors or whispers that when she was a kid, she was very enthusiastic about sex at a very young age. And, you know, whether or not a child is enthusiastic about sex, they cannot consent to it. Because I was a high school teacher for a very long time, and I am so disgusted with the idea that a teenager can consent to that kind of activity at that age with someone that is a film or TV producer. No. even if she was enthusiastic, enthusiasm as a child does not equal consent. When I look at this Mars in Virgo, which probably was very sexually curious at a very young age, when I watch it exploited in this with this position in this placement, I'm just thinking, was she put in a position where she was groomed? I've heard a lot about Nickelodeon. It's all coming out now. I don't know if she's ever going to speak about it. I think maybe there were some agreements, financial or contractual agreement with NDAs, where she's not allowed to speak about this stuff, and maybe we will never hear about it until maybe after she's left this world. Maybe it will all come out and we'll realize in retrospect what has happened, but this does not look comfortable. I think she was infantilized at a young age and exploited at a young age. I remember when she got really quite famous, was it 2012-ish? When she was around 20 years old, she broke out of the whole Nickelodeon thing and started her solo career. And I distinctly remember watching her, and I was at the gym and one of her videos popped up. I'm like, oh, she's so cute. And I was like, why am I so uncomfortable looking at this girl? She looked like she was 12. She looked like she, and we're going back to her midheaven. She looked like she was 12, but she was a grown woman, but she looked like she was 12. There's something, she was infantilized and simultaneously sexualized. Infantilized and sexualized. It just looks so uncomfortable. The ribbons and the hairstyle and the little booty shorts and shit like that, the bunny ears, you're not dressed like a grown-up woman. And it's not just because of how petite she was. I mean, Kylie Minogue is a petite woman, but she always played into her womanliness, her womanhood. Ariana played into her girlishness. She looked barely legal, and the fact she was so sexualized is, it makes a lot of sense with this Pluto in the 10th house. People with Pluto in the 10th house, even Megan Fox, she has the same placement. It took her many, many years to really come into her own and just take hold of her power, because early on in her 20s, her teens, she was so exploited. So what I'm hoping for Ariana is that as she gets older, she gets through her Saturn return, that she learns how to wield her power and to grow and mature and actually start looking like a grown adult. Because she in her 30s now, she can't look like she's 12 forever. And that's a really hard transition for a girl that has been infantilized and sexualized since she was 14. So I appreciate that struggle, but she needs to get through it. Get through your Saturn return and become a grown woman. Even Selena Gomez did it, and she's a difficult one to talk about as well. She's a Cancer as well, who's always kind of like a perpetual victim. But I appreciate that that someone like Selena Gomez could start looking like a woman and behaving like one for the most part. If you would like me to do a Selena Gomez analysis, let me know and put it down in the comments. What else am I looking at here? Marriage is difficult. I mean, Jupiter is squared. Jupiter's the husband in marriage. I think she might get married, or she did get married. She might get married again. maybe she'll get, she's the Liz Taylor of our time, right? That's what people are saying. Liz Taylor got married like 8 times to 7 dudes. So I don't know. I wonder if she's going to come across her Richard Burton. Chiron and Juno, these two asteroids represent perpetual pain and marriage. There is marriage woes here, or there is healing through marriages, or there are wounded marriages, or like there's just a lot going on here. It's not really well aspected, but it is there in the seventh house, playing into the eighth house. So another placement that tells me she could get married quite a few times in her life. Her ultimate destiny, though, is to go into this 11th house. And the 11th house is fame and it is the public, but that will continue to grow with the North Node in Sagittarius. You guys born in 1993-ish? 92, 93? Even 94? You guys born with the North Node in Sagittarius. Travel. Go see the world. Hopefully she can break free and be single for a year and just go on a trip to Italy or something and just be by herself and be creative on her own. Maybe it's an experience that she needs. I think she needs that experience. It would be really cool for her to do the Tina Turner thing and still be a pop star, rock star, but also have her peace in a foreign land where no one gives a shit about who she is. So Ariana, go do a Tina Turner. Who was actually a Sagittarius, funnily enough. Go overseas and make a life overseas and then come back, do your tours, make millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, write a book, Sagittarius publications, spiritual expansion. That would all work for her. It would make her uncomfortable because she doesn't have placements that are complementary to her sun sign because it's very codependent. I think she needs to be alone for at least a while. The North Node is nicely sextiled and aspected to her moon and Jupiter. So that would feed her hunger for adventure without having the codependency. If she was to, you know, just be like, let's pick up and let's move to Sweden and let's work with Max Martin full time, whatever. I don't know if he can do that, but it would be a cool idea because they make beautiful music together. Anyway, that was my chart reading for Ariana Grande. I feel like she's got a lot of issues. I don't think she is a bad person. I just think she needs to just wake up to herself and have her Saturn return. And maybe she just needs a proper breakdown. If you've gone through your Saturn return, you understand that it's your breakdown and build up period. And she's got 2 more years of this. So I wish her well, may she get healthy, and I wish her the best of luck. Okay. Thanks so much, guys. If you'd like to support me, I've got everything linked below to my 50% off 60 minute readings, 30% off 20 minute readings, the MP3 ones, and then I've got courses there if you want to take them, little short ones with workbooks. And if you can't do that, like, subscribe, and comment so I can turn this little YouTube channel into something. That would be great. Okay. Thank you. Bye.